It's time to talk Chiefs football. The NFL draft is coming up on Thursday night, and Chiefs fans, I know, are intrigued by what the Chiefs might do. And here to talk about the Chiefs and predict exactly what they're going to do on Thursday is the sports director at KCTV5 in Kansas City, our good friend Danny Welniak. Danny, how you doing today?
Wade, you give me far too much credit. I'm going to do my best to tell you what the Chiefs need. If they actually do that, is a completely different story, and we're just going to have a little bit of fun with it. I'll tell you what I want, and then if they follow suit, great. That'd be awesome. But, you know, I don't get paid the big bucks for a reason.
Well, the only problem with if they do exactly what you want and then it doesn't work, that's going to look poorly on you. So that's the thing, you know. You want them. Sometimes as fans, we want the team to do exactly what we want. But honestly, that might be that's exactly what they shouldn't do, right?
Yeah. You know, that's a very good point as well. And you know what? I would much rather be wrong and then be successful than be right and then be terrible. So I'm totally on board with that philosophy.
I hear that. Hey, happy birthday to you, by the way. Here you had a birthday.
Yes, I turned a big 3-3. So moving up
goodness.
In the world, you know, being a mom now kind of puts a new perspective on your birthdays. They're not nearly as about you anymore.
Right.
So I took my daughter to Deanna Rose for my birthday, and then my husband took us the Omaha Zoo for my birthday. So really, it was all about her, even though it was my birthday. So totally fine. Another year, we're celebrating. So, you know, anybody who's having a birthday out there right now, like I think you may have somebody in your your work office there who's having a birthday party, celebrate it. Enjoy
it. Yeah, absolutely. We were just kidding him. He's turning 45, and I said, happy birthday, and then I erased all the good faith by saying that now you can round it up to 50. You're closer to 50 than 40. So
why would you do that?
I'm a horrible person, Danny. Because people have done that to me because I'm 46, so I'm closer to 50 than he is. So apparently makes me feel better to say that to somebody that's younger than me in that situation. So
you know what? I won't judge you for that.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, well, happy double tray birthday. That's pretty cool. Well, let's get into the Chiefs here. Of course, the draft coming up on Thursday. You know, of course, the big blockbuster this offseason was the Chiefs, unexpectedly, according to most, the surprise. And I think what caught everybody off guard was the speed of how it happened with Tyreek Hill being traded to the Dolphins. And I totally understand the economics of it. I understand why the Chiefs traded him. And honestly, I'm one of those that believes this was long term. This is the best thing that the Chiefs probably could have done. But that all depends a lot on how they do in this year's draft starting on Thursday. How did you view the trade of Tyreek Hill going to the Dolphins, the Chiefs getting these picks, and do you feel the same way?
See, I'm very much on your train as well in the fact that I knew that something was going to have to happen. You signed Patrick Mahomes to a really big deal that doesn't really kick in until this year and next year. So I think doing anything with this core of Super Bowl winning pass catchers was going to be something that you could put in the back of your mind and not have to worry about until this season when incentives start kicking in and Patrick Mahomes is starting to have to get paid. So knowing that Mahomes is going to be here for a decade plus, you just put that into perspective of saying that, okay, you know, the average career for an NFL player is, what, 4 or 5 years maybe on the good side? So you're looking at a different core two or three times during the course of Mahomes' tenure. So this year is kind of that first stepping stone, or that first, I guess, changing of the guard, you could say, that things are going to have to start changing, or their decisions, hard decisions, are going to have to be made. And one of those big decisions that we've talked about here in Kansas City is, okay, who do you choose? Do you choose Tyreek Hill, or do you choose Travis Kelce? Who's the guy who's going to be here long-term that you're going to be willing to pay on the offensive side of the ball to stay with Mahomes? And I think that the obvious answer to that is Kelce, because of what he's been able to accomplish and even the friendship that he has with Mahomes. And even though Tyreek Hill is a one-of-a-kind receiver with his speed and his ability to, you know, get off defenders and create separation and track down the ball like, you know, a center fielder, I think at the end of the day, the decision to move on from him was one that will pay many more dividends and benefit the team more, because he gets to go somewhere where he's getting to be paid the highest paid receiver in the National Football League. He goes to his second home, which is Miami. He's got a house down there, so he's got family that live in that area. So he doesn't necessarily make the decision because he wants to go win a championship somewhere else. He's already got that under his belt. He did that here in Kansas City. Now he gets an opportunity to pursue what he wants out of life. And so I think when you look at it like that, I think it makes it a lot more easy to swallow from a personal standpoint, from a football standpoint. And then I also have been real big about bringing in big receivers who can play the X and the Y position and can just body up defenders and can be really effective in the red zone and, you know, basically moss guys. And so I think with the addition of Marquez Valdez-Scantling and Juju Smith-Schuster, even though they're not, like, the big names at receiver in the National Football League, like a DK Metcalf, I think that they're what the Chiefs need. And I think, honestly, at this point in Patrick Mahomes' career, I think that's what he needs to evolve and to be a better quarterback. And I know a lot of people talk about how, you know, well, this offense is going to look different. Andy Reid says it's not going to look that different. He says that they're basically going to mentally look at this like, okay, we're going to play these, like, play with this team the way that we would if, you know, Tyreek was out or when he was injured. And so I've had so many opportunities to kind of look back and dig into that a little bit. And, you know, Mahomes actually has a better record. It's like 4-1 with Tyreek on the sideline, and McColl plays better, obviously, because he becomes more of a primary guy. So I think you're going to kind of see McColl step into that role. Will it be the same as Tyreek? Absolutely not. But I do think that you're going to see more production from him. And so I think the pieces kind of all fall into place. So, you know, long answer to your question is that I think there are a lot of different pieces that go into this and a lot of different things that had to be thought out and put forth. And I really think that the Chiefs ultimately, big picture, made the best decision by trading him and now are working on putting all those pieces together. And now they got a bunch of draft picks, which is exactly what you need with a quarterback who's going to be paid even more looking forward long term. You need a bunch of cheap guys that you could end up hitting on and you know, hitting blockbuster in the draft and be able to capitalize on that. And if anybody's been able to do that, I mean, we've seen Beach do it here over the last couple of years.
Absolutely. Danny Wellenak, she is the sports director at KCTV5 in Kansas City with us. Talk Chiefs draft as the first round of the NFL draft is on Thursday. Chiefs have picks 29 and 30 as it stands right now. All right, in your opinion, and help me out, tell me what the biggest need is for the Chiefs by position, and there could be multiple needs, but give them in the order that you think is the biggest priority and most important.
Okay, well, I'm going to be super-duper biased because I love the receiver position, and I think that the Chiefs do need to build there, and I think they need to keep trying to hit on someone really special in the draft at receiver. And this is probably the deepest receiver draft class, and if you're going to go for a receiver, especially in the first round, like, this is the one to do it. So I think that the Chiefs need to utilize. They got two picks in the first round. They're at the bottom of the first round, yeah, 29 and 30. But the interesting thing is that this week there's been a lot of talks and rumors and reports that a lot of the teams at the top, since there's not a top, really, like, top 10 group of quarterbacks in this year's draft, they're interested in trading down. And the Chiefs, having those picks, if they want a receiver, if they want an edge would probably be number two, somebody who's really good, a really good pass rusher that can either be a starter or create some depth, like, that's what they need to trade up to go get. So a receiver or an edge, I think, would be awesome because there's three guys that are really, really good impact pass rushers at the college level that I think are going to go probably in the top 10. And I think that the Chiefs need to try to get that. Even though Beach told us at his press conference they're not going to make a huge splash, they're not going to try to trade up into the top 10 unless something crazy unfolds. I mean, if they end up with a really good deal and teams want to get out of the top 10, I mean, why not? You know, figure it out to get up there and get something that you absolutely need that's going to be relatively cheap, you know, as a rookie on a rookie contract that you can keep around and you can develop, both on the offensive side at receiver and at edge in the defensive side of things. So I think those are probably my top two that they need to go chase, but then they also desperately need corners. Like, yeah, you cannot have enough good quality corners. And we've seen the Chiefs do wonders with guys that weren't first-round picks, you know, like with Bashaud Breeland or Tarvarius Ward, or guys that have come in that haven't been top draft picks that the Chiefs chose. And so I think that those are probably my top three. Those are positions that you have to fill. It's going to be easy to be able to fill those because you have 12 different picks. At this point, we know that Beach could do whatever he wants. He could trade up, he could trade down, they could lose some picks, you know, they could trade for a veteran. If they trade those picks for a veteran, you know, there's so many different options that you can do. And that's why the draft is so fun, because it's just kind of all over the place, and you get to see the mad scientists at work in the general managers and those personnel departments. But I have to say, in that order, I think you got to go, my bias, other people would disagree. I think you got to go receiver, edge, and cornerback. So those are big. But Veach has said multiple times that he's big on the trenches. He's big on the O-line, getting depth there. He's big on the defensive line, getting depth there. So I think that you can probably look for the line to be a priority for the Kansas City Chiefs in this year's draft.
I've seen so many people just assume the Chiefs are going to trade up in the first round, and I'm going to be a little bit different. I can foresee, if there's not that receiver edge rusher that they really like on their board, they're not going to reach. They may actually trade out of the first round with one of those picks and go down. But what I see for the Chiefs, and this is the great thing about this draft and all the picks they have, and granted, four or seventh round picks, so I don't really talk much about those. But but they have two, Danny, in the first, two in the second, two in the third, two in the fourth. I could see Brett Veach, and I don't think there's any doubt he's going to make a trade or two, or who knows how many trades in this draft. But I think everybody's focused on him moving up in the first round, or some people talking about trading for Deebo Samuel, who wants out of San Francisco. And I think what you might see is that he's going to do a lot of trading and jockeying around in regards to, hey, we get to the second round and there's a guy they liked it, say, at 40. And they're sitting there at, I forgot where they are, sitting in the second round with the overall pick. But they could easily trade a fourth and, you know, exchange second round picks to move up and give a fourth, you know, or whatever it is the value is. I could see them in the third round going, we got two third round picks. Yeah, but there's another guy we really like. We can trade one of our fourths to move up in the third or a future draft pick. I can just see Brett Veach really using all this draft capital. Everybody's focused on the first round. I know that's the sexy part of the draft, but you can get some really great players in second, third round. We saw Trey Smith, a sixth-round pick. Creed Humphrey was not a first-round pick. Nick Bolton was not a first-round pick, and those all panned out pretty well. So the ants, to just add to your point, they have lots of different needs, and if they can get depth on the lines, or if they add another linebacker, of course they need a corner. Maybe there's an edge rusher that they really like in the second or third round that's a sleeper, and they say, hey, we got to move up to get that guy. I can just see Brett Veach really trading quite a bit, but maybe not as obvious as some people think in the first round.
Right. Well, and even like you said, look what they've done with second round picks. They've traded out more often than not in Veach's time and not had a first round pick. So while, again, you said, like, it's the sexy first round that everybody thinks, you know, no matter who you pick in the first round, they're going to pan out, right? Well, that doesn't always work. And so you're actually, as a general manager, if you take your chances in the second round and somebody doesn't work out, it doesn't really, you know, it's kind of like, okay, whatever. But if they hit, like a Nick Bolton or a Creed Humphrey, which it's crazy to think that you had two in the second round that end up turning out to be really, really big contributors for your team, then you look like a genius, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's a big thing to take into consideration, is that there are starters in the second round. There are starters in the third round. And, I mean, you look at a guy like Tyreek, who went in the fifth round, or Kareem Hunt, who I think went in the fourth round. So you've got so much talent there that if you just hit on a couple, if you have this many draft picks that you can move around in those middle rounds and you can have a little fun with it, and you can find the guys that you really want that will be contributors right off the bat, I mean, that's where you do your work. That's why Brett Veach gets paid the big bucks for doing what he does, is because the first round, relatively easy to find guys there in the top 10 that are going to be contributors. But if you can do that in the second and third and even fourth rounds and later, I mean, that's what separates, you know, the boys from the men in the general manager world, is that those are the guys that you make your big bucks off of, because they're the ones who you can keep on rookie contracts and keep for a longer amount of time while also paying your key guys that are, you know, your big faces, your big names. And that's what's going to help you win championships.
Speaking of sexy moves, a sexy move would be to trade for Deebo Samuel from the 49ers. Yeah. And it was a report today saying that one GM fully believes that the Niners want two first-round picks for Deebo Samuel. Well, there are four or five teams that have two first-round picks. The Packers definitely need a receiver, and they would be one of those. But, of course, the Chiefs are sitting there with 2 seconds, two-thirds, two-fourths, and two-firsts. They easily could pull it off in regards to draft capital. But I guess the question would be, if you weren't giving Tyreek Hill his money, why are you going to give Deebo Samuel a big contract? Granted, he's a couple years younger, but he is a little bit more of a hybrid, a bigger guy, not quite as fast as Tyreek, who is as fast as Tyreek Hill. But do you think there's any chance that the Chiefs would make that big of a move after they didn't give Tyreek Hill his money and then would pay Deebo his money and trade picks for him?
I always think there's a chance. I mean, of course, there's probably been some kind of communication, because that's what Veach and his staff do. You know, they're going to test the water and just want to see what's up. And I don't think there's any harm in that. I think it's totally worth that. But I don't necessarily think you want to go and sign a guy to a big contract, because, like you said, if you're going to get rid of Tyreek Hill for that very same reason, you need to find guys that are going to be A, long-term for you, and are going to be young guys that you can build around with Patrick Mahomes. Because it is really hard in this offensive scheme to be able to just bring in guys and plug them in. I mean, we've heard from guys like Mecole Hardman. We've heard from Jeremy Maclin. We've heard from Chris Conley, like guys that are no longer here, obviously. But how difficult it is, even Sammy Watkins, to get into and learn this offense real quickly off the jump. Like, we've heard multiple times that it takes 2-3 years to really feel comfortable in Andy Reid's offense. So for people to think that, okay, you're just going to go out and get some big-name receiver that's going to plug in and be an impact player right off the bat, probably could be the case, but I also think that there is an element of chemistry and getting a feel for the offense and understanding what Andy Reid expects of you that plays into this as well. And Mahomes has got to like it. Mahomes has got to want him. And so I think that the biggest thing is that something that Mahomes wants? Does he want to go after a guy who wants a big contract, or does he want guys around him that he can have, not like medium name receivers that he can build up and he can utilize and he can basically pick from the bunch? And I think that's what's going to make this offense so potent going into this year, is that he doesn't just have two guys that he's going to have to rely on. He's going to have multiple guys that he can choose from and he can go to. And so I don't think Deebo Samuel necessarily fits into that picture, but I'm never going to count it out, because Veach has done crazier things before.
Yes, he has. Best offseason move the Chiefs have made so far. I mean, they have signed a few guys, not super flashy guys. The guy that probably got the most money was Justin Reed to replace Tyrann Mathieu. But and of course, they restructured Frank Clark's contract. What's the best offseason move the Chiefs have made up to this point, in your opinion?
Well, I'd probably say restructuring Frank Clark's contract was one of the big ones, to be able to keep him here while also keep him cheap. I think that was something that was necessary that needed to be done. I do think, though, that, you know, running back's one of those positions that I think people overlook a lot, and they're expecting a lot out of Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but I just don't know if he's proved that he deserves a second contract. So I want to see more from him. And then bringing in Ronald Jones, I think, is a big move from that running back room perspective, because you need guys, and they're going to need some depth. They can't just rely on Clyde, because Andy loves the running back by committee approach, and we've seen that be successful. You don't need big name guys. You don't need a bunch of, you know, first and second round picks that are going to be, you know, successful or workhorses. You need a couple guys that are really good that they can rotate in and out. So I think adding Ronald Jones to that running back room is a really big offseason addition that most people are going to overlook. But I think that it's kind of a smaller one that people will appreciate as the season goes on. So I'm going to go with that. Frank Clark first, because I think that's big from the monetary standpoint. But then adding another guy like Jones to the running back room, I think, is really big.
Yeah, I love the pickup of Jones. When he stays healthy, he's a 1,000-yard back, and he's a guy that's one of the best running between the tackles. My only question with the Ronald Jones signing is Andy going to utilize him enough and stick to a running game that, of course, he was criticized for when they were running the ball pretty well against the Bengals AFC title game, and McKinnon was averaging 5 or 6 a pop? I think that's the question. Yeah. But I love the addition. I agree with you on that. All right, our time for off the wall question, and it's always fun when I talk to folks before we get them on the air, like yourself today, because I had an original off the wall question and I've completely junked it for a different one. Yes, I have junked it. I've junked it because you told me it was your birthday recently. So the off the wall question, Danny Welniak, is what's the best type of cake? What is the best type of cake out there? That bar none, that's your first choice.
Ice cream cake. I'm all about the ice cream cake. Look, you get ice cream and you get a cake all in one, and you can't go wrong with it. So that's what I ask for every year from my husband. I'm like, look, I don't want anything flashy. We don't need to do anything crazy. I don't need a big gift. All I want is pizza and an ice cream cake for my birthday. So that's what I do.
Oh, my goodness. It's like we're mere images of one another. That is my number one choice both ways. And I say ice cream along with cake is the best combination ever made. And it's the two best ingredients on earth. So it's awesome, isn't it? Yeah. We're part of the choir.
We are right here. I am right here with you. Thank goodness. If you want to send me a birthday invitation anytime and have ice cream cake,
awesome.
I will be there.
Oh, that sounds good. And likewise, except the only problem is I might eat all of it before anybody else gets to it. I can't stop with just one piece. I have a sweet tooth, man.
Okay, well, then I'll just have to get there early.
Okay, that's a good idea. Good idea. how can people follow you on social media and everything that you do as you cover the Chiefs and the draft coming up on Thursday?
Yeah, you bet. Twitter is the best place. It's at KCTV Danny. We're obviously going to be updating people as we go. Anything that we hear from Brett Veach, we'll be adding that in there as well. Reports, of course, about what trades may be happening, maybe if we're hearing some stuff behind the scenes. That'll be on my Twitter. And then also any kind of fun stuff. We'll do some Facebook Lives leading up to the draft and during the draft and kind of our thoughts. So check me out at Danny Welniak on Facebook as well. KCTV5.com too. That's where we're going to have stuff posted. So all three of those places, good draft coverage for you coming up this weekend.
Should be an interesting Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. It'll be interesting to break it all down next week. Danny, as always, a pleasure having you on the show. Best of luck covering the draft. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you so much. You as well, Wade, and I'm looking forward to getting your birthday invitation. Thank you.
Perfect.